Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Nasta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This morning we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service, text number 25, I hope. Yes, okay. Bhejire Munaya Athagre Bhagavantam Adhokshajam Sattam Vishuddham Kshemaya Kalpante Ye Anu Tan Iha Bejire Munayo Athagre Bhejire Munayo Athagre Bhagavantam Adhokshajam Bhagavantam Adhokshajam Sattam Vishuddham Shemaya Sattam Vishuddham Shemaya Kalpante Yenu Taniha Kalpante Yenu Taniha Bhejire Munayo Athagre Bhagavantam Adhokshajam Sattam Vishuddham Shemaya Kalpante Yenu Taniha Bhejire Munayo Athagre Bhagavantam Adhokshajam Sattam Vishuddham Shemaya Kalpante Yenu Taniha Bhejire Rendered service unto Munayaha the sages Atha thus Agre previously Bhagavantam unto the personality of Godhead Adhokshajam the transcendence Sattam existence Vishuddham above the three modes of nature Kshemaya to derive the ultimate benefit Kalpante deserve Ye, those. Anu, follow. Tan, those. Iha, in this material world. Translation. Previously, all the great sages rendered service unto the personality of Godhead, due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world. Responsively, please repeat. Previously, all the great sages, rendered service unto the personality of Godhead. Due to his existence, above the three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free. From material conditions. And thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities, is also eligible for liberation. From the material world. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The purpose of performing religion is neither to profit by material gain, nor to get the simple knowledge of discerning matter from spirit. The ultimate aim of religious performances is to release oneself from material bondage and regain the life of freedom in the transcendental world where the personality of Godhead is the supreme person. Laws of religion, therefore, are directly enacted by the personality of Godhead, and except for the Mahajanas or the authorized agents of the Lord, no one knows the purpose of religion. There are 12 particular agents of the Lord who know the purpose of religion, and all of them render transcendental loving service unto him. Persons who desire their own good may follow these Mahajanas and thus attain the supreme benefit. Bhajire munayo tagre bhagavantam madhoksajam satram vishuddham shemaya kalpante yenutaniha. Previously, all the great sages rendered service unto the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world. This material world is described as dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It is a temporary place, and it is full of misery. If it were temporary and full of pleasure, that would be okay. But it's temporary and full of misery. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. Birth, death, old age, disease. Someone said there's a fifth one, birth, death, disease, old age, and new age. The fivefold material miseries. Adidaivik, adibhautik, adhyatmik klesha, miseries caused by nature. Daiva, adibhautik, miseries caused by other living beings. And miseries caused by my own infirmity, my own bodily problems, unlimited. So, the material world is basically no place for a gentleman. It is no place for a Vaishnava. We made a mistake coming here. It was a mistake. We were with Krishna. We were engaged in serving Krishna. But somehow or other, we misused our independence. If we knew the answer to why we did that, what we did, we could immediately correct it. But there's no use, as we say in English, there's no use in crying over spilled milk. There's no use in lamenting over the fact, how did we come to the material world? We're here. And although we are by nature Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, and most important, full of bliss, that is our constitution, somehow we are experiencing Asat, Achit, Nira Ananda, a temporary life full of ignorance and darkness and suffering. And there's no Ananda. There's nothing like Ananda in the material world. Sukh and Dukh should not be confused with Ananda. Sukh and Dukh are just opposite sides of the same coin. Relative degrees of light and darkness. One man's pleasure is another man's poison. But Ananda means Anandam Buddhivardhanam, ever increasing joy, ad infinitum, for Latin scholars here, unlimitedly. Ever-increasing blissfulness unlimitedly. There's no relative conception in absolute happiness. Somehow, we made a mistake. Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhogavanchakare Nikatasta Mayatare Japatiya Dare. The moment you begin to see Krishna in a relative way, the moment you begin to envy Krishna, the moment you think of becoming a competitor of Krishna, then japatiya dare. You are slapped, not escorted politely, but you are slapped down into the material world, because there's no room for competition in the absolute world. Ekale Ishwar Krishna Arsabhritya. Everyone is Krishna's servant constitutionally. There's only one supreme master. It's hard for us. It's really hard for us in this age, and especially at this time, we're almost at the end of one of Kali Yuga's mini cycles. In other words, things are very degraded at the present moment. People are very familiar with the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Any Italian? No. Anyway. The decline and fall of the Roman Empire saw originally quite a disciplined and principled society, and even by their own calculation, relatively religious. Of course, they worshiped various demigods and demagogues, but gradually over the period of time, they became degraded and degraded until practically they were, you know, homosexuals and rampant sinful activities. So there was a cycle. And you see that throughout history. Some powerful leader will come, establish some civilization of sorts. I say civilization loosely because the ultimate barometer, the ultimate ruler, the ultimate measurement of civilization can be found in the Vedas. It is, you can't just use words without some type of absolute definition. In other words, we can't just say, well, one meter is this long. And someone else says, no, I think 1 meter is this long. And someone else says, no, I think 1 meter is from this end of the tent to the... No, there's got to be some standard definition. So the Vedas give the standard definition of civilization. And our Western civilization, so-called, has not even reached the very basest, basic level of civilization. But anyway, at least within our so-called civilization, things have gone from not so bad to bad to very bad. And we're kind of at the end of a cycle. So it's very hard to find anyone who knows the real meaning of spiritual life. Manda, sumanda, matayo, manda, bhagya. We're not only at the end of a cycle within Kali Yuga, but within the four ages where Satya Yuga is predominated by the mode of goodness, where everyone knows religion, where the demigods come personally to accept their sacrifices, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead often visits in Satya Yuga. Vishnu would come often for big ceremonies, to a gradual deterioration in Kali Yuga where nobody wants to come, neither Vishnu nor the demigods nor even the lower celestials, because we're so fallen. And within Kali Yuga we've reached a cycle, the end of a cycle, where we're very, very fallen. So it's hard for us to appreciate what is the real standard of happiness, what is the real standard of human life. But there is some hope by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna never deserts us. You know, this is one thing about, there are many aspects to our relationship with Krishna which are different than our relationships with other living beings. In this world, we have various friendships, we have various conjugal affairs, various affairs of servant and master, neutral affairs, relationships with people. But one thing in particular about our relationship with Krishna, which cannot be imitated by anyone else, is that Krishna never deserts us. He never leaves us. No matter how low we fall, no matter how covered our mind and senses may be, Krishna is always there within our heart. He's always there externally trying to attract us in the form of his representatives. In so many ways, he is the greatest emblem of compassion in this material world. So one of the ways in which Krishna manifests his compassion is he sends his representatives to help us discriminate between sat and asat, between temporary and eternal, between matter and spirit. I think you've all heard umpteen, you know, there's 13, 14, 15, 16, there's umpteen, means unlimited times. The definition of real knowledge is to know the difference between matter and spirit. To know the difference between a dead body and a live body. Unfortunately, you find in this Kali Yuga, people are Manda Bhagya. They're very foolish. At this period, in the end of a cycle in Kali Yuga, people are especially in darkness, completely addicted, like drug addicts, to so many forms of sense gratification. They've lost all power of discrimination. Even simple things they can't understand. And it's really amazing. Sometimes when you're preaching and you try to explain some simple aspects of philosophy which seem relatively easy to accept, and you get amazed by the fact that people can't understand it, they can't accept it, they just want to argue, they just want to debate for argument's sake. Practically, they have no understanding. So, this is bewildering. But the absolute truth is not that difficult to understand if you go through the proper channel, if you receive knowledge through parampara. Therefore, Krishna comes down to us. He descends from the spiritual world as avatar, as incarnation, and once in a day of Brahma, he will also come himself personally and manifest his leelas, or he sends his servants, his representatives. He's very anxious to call us back to home. He's very compassionate. He sees the fact that we are in darkness and we are suffering. Tamasi ma jyotir gama. We are in tama, we are in darkness. And Krishna is exhorting us, he's appealing to us, he's calling us, come to the light. This is where you belong. You don't belong here in the world of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha. Misery. You don't belong in the world of old age, disease, and death, and then rebirth ad infinitum. You're an eternal spirit soul. You're meant for rasa. You're meant for unlimited, anandam buddhivardhanam, an ocean of happiness. That is our constitution. The soul's nature is that it is also, the soul is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Instead of Asat Achit Nirananda, which we experience within the body. So, in this Kali Yuga, Krishna is coming down to us, especially at this time, through the agency of the parampara. He's come personally as Lord Chaitanya. He has taken the form of Lord Chaitanya, and he is distributing free tickets. If someone were outside and they were distributing free tickets to go to America, and they only had about 300 or 400 of them, I'm sure there wouldn't be one person sitting here in this class. You'd all be running after the free tickets. Krishna's giving free tickets, practically. As Lord Chaitanya, he's not demanding any rigid austerities. He's simply come to invite us to go back to home, back to Godhead, by taking up the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Practically, by taking up the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, you're already liberated. That is the transcendental platform. So, it is, in one sense, a very dark age, Kali Yuga. People are troubled by bad karma. People are troubled by short duration of life, manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. So many anomalies. It's not like Satyuga. We're crippled. We're actually duratma, cripple-minded. We're suffering incredibly. We're suffering. We're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, and yet we're completely engrossed in temporary activities that are full of distress and anxiety. And we have no knowledge how to change our situation. We have no attraction towards regulated life. We have no attraction towards real spiritual life. So many. It's an ocean of bad qualities, Kali Yuga. So Lord Chaitanya has come, and he has given us a very sublime process, but nevertheless, as always, we have to take the process from Lord Chaitanya through disciplic succession. We cannot concoct. We cannot invent. The greatest mistake in spiritual life is to try to invent your own rules, to invent your own process. The person who is going to be successful is the person who follows exactly as he has heard it from his spiritual authority. And then you can understand through parampara that you are actually connected with Krishna, because your spiritual master and his spiritual master are simply repeating as they have heard, without any false interpretation, without any addition or subtraction, without any corruption. They're simply repeating sakshat hari, the message of the Lord directly. And that is how we can make spiritual progress. So it is like shaving. While using a sharp razor to get the hair off your face, which gentlemen do, some people don't shave, that's another thing. But I didn't shave this morning anyway. Generally we shave our face to be clean. Cleanliness is next to godliness, especially living in a civilization, a society of many people. If we were living in a tree in the forest, you can do what you like, but shaving is dangerous. It's a sharp blade. In India, of course, they still use a straight razor. We have our, you know, I don't know, Gillette double, triple protection anti-rolling mechanism, you know, fancy blades, but even still sometimes you cut yourself. I saw one boy the other day had shaved his head. He had about 5 big red patches all over his head. Looked like the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So one has to be careful in spiritual life. If there is a mistake, you can cause disturbance. Therefore, Mahajano Yena Gatha Sapantaha, we follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas very strictly. We have no knowledge on our own. We are inexperienced. We are fallen. We are Kali Yugi Vasis. Kali Yuga. Vasis. We are residents of Kali Yuga. We've made a mistake. We blew it in Satyuga. We didn't take advantage in Treta. We were still belligerent in Dwapar. And, you know, here we are somehow or other in human life in Kali Yuga, but people are very disturbed in this age, and especially at this time. So Lord Chaitanya has come He's very merciful. And he has given us a rope by which we can pull ourselves out of this miserable condition. He has sent his representatives to engage us in the Yuga Dharma, Nam Sankirtan. He has sent his representatives to demonstrate for us. You know, sometimes people understand things by their own reasoning power. A little analysis, careful observation, comparison, and they somehow or other figure out. Some people who are not so smart, they need to actually get some further instruction. They have questions they need. They have doubts. They need those doubts destroyed. And they need further elucidation, further clarification on what should be done. Other people need a demonstration. They can understand a little bit, and they have their own intuition a little bit, but not very well developed. They need, you know, a practical, they have these, in America, they have these paint by numbers. And they'll have a painting of some beautiful scenery, and, you know, it'll be broken up 1, 2, 3, 4. The whole picture will be cut into different sections and numbered. And then at the bottom it'll say paint number 1 blue, and paint number 2 green, and it's called paint by numbers. Some people need a little bit more clarification. But some people, no matter what you give them, they're going to make a mess of the painting. It'll still look like that guy with the shaved head, completely butchered, no matter how many instructions you give them. But still, nevertheless, we have an opportunity by strictly following the parampara that we can make progress even in this darkest age of Kali Yuga. But we have to make sure that we discriminate. Human beings have this special ability. One of the advantages of being at the end of the cycle or at the end of the evolution of development of consciousness, we've come to the highest level. Out of 8,400,000 species of life, there are 400,000 human species, and out of those 400,000 human species, there are some that are civilized. And somehow or other, we have had the opportunity to come in contact with a representative of Lord Krishna, a representative of Lord Chaitanya, and he's given us instructions on how we can improve our lives, how we can step by step benefit ourselves, how we can free ourselves from bondage, how we can gradually fix our mind on Krishna and go back to home, back to Godhead. In other words, to reinstate ourselves in our constitutional position. We do not belong here in this material world. We are Satchit Ananda. As spiritual beings, we are eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. The material world is Asat Achit Nirananda. It is temporary. It is full of darkness, and it is full of suffering, pain and suffering. Dukkalayam Ashasvatam. Simply a temporary place full of relative misery. More or less, everything here is just pain. Different degrees of pain. Tamasima Jyotir Gama. The Vedic instruction is come out from this dark place. You don't belong here. come to the spiritual world where you belong. You are spiritual beings. You are meant to enjoy happiness. Krishna does not like to see us suffering. He doesn't like to see us suffering physically. He doesn't like to see us suffering mentally. God is not some person who gets happiness in seeing others suffer. There are such people in the world, but Krishna is full of love. Krishna wants us to return home. He's calling us, please come back to me. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tam sarva papebhyo. I will take all your sinful reactions. I know you've been a bad boy. I know you've done all sorts of nasty things. And I don't know about you, but I have to confess this confession day, public confession. I've had so many bad thoughts in my mind in my lifetime. Nasty, dirty things. I've even done my own fair share of sinful activities. And I can just imagine what I've done in the roar of births before this lifetime. What a stockpile, what a huge account. You know, bigger than Fort Knox, bigger than, you know, Fort Knox, where they keep all the gold in America. I don't think they have any gold now, they just have paper, but we have such a stockpile of sinful activities. But Krishna is so kind, he's saying that I will take all those sinful reactions, you just surrender to me. Krishna is our ever well-wisher, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. He's our dearmost friend. And Gyatvamam Shantim Ruchati. The only way you can be peaceful and happy in this material life is to fix your mind on the fact that your only friend in this world is Sri Krishna. He's the only one who cares for you throughout all your traveling. He's the only one who accompanies you through every birth. He's the only one who's doing what you need, doing what is good for you. You may sometimes be bewildered why God has done this to me, why God has made me suffer. You're lucky if Krishna takes the trouble to help you overcome your material attachments. Shidyante sarva sangshaya. If he helps you to cut the knot of material affection. So, Lord Chaitanya has given us this process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. It is very easy and it is very sublime. Practically for the neophyte, he can chant under any conditions and he will make some progress. As one advances, there are some more refined instructions given how to perfect our chanting, how to perfect our sadhana, how to purify our existence, how to clean our heart, how to prepare ourselves for going back home, back to Godhead. So as we advance, we have to be more conscientious that the process is certainly susukam, kartum abhyayam. It is certainly joyfully performed, no doubt, but in order to pass over all the obstacles that we have literally placed in our own path, and we have taken the trouble to get entangled in the material world. It wasn't Krishna's doing. It is we who rejected him. We are the sinners. We are the fallen. We have rejected God. We must accept that. We must accept some degree of humility, some degree of responsibility for our condition. And then we should see that Krishna is trying to make it easy for us to reawaken our dormant love for Him, to resurrect ourselves, to return to the kingdom of God, to live there eternally full of joy, full of bliss, full of happiness in His association. But we have to accept that we've made some mistakes, and Krishna is giving us this process of, especially in this age, a very easy process of chanting the holy names of Krishna, Yuga Dharma, the prescribed method for this age. Now, it is an easy process. It is sublime. And one would think that anyone, simply upon hearing it, would just take it and immediately recognize, yes, this is it, and go back to Godhead. Just like if you go door to door and you're passing out $1 million, no one's going to, I don't think anyone's going to question. Everyone will say, oh, $1 million for me? Thank you. Goodbye. They won't have any problem accepting it. Unfortunately, the very best thing, eternal life full of bliss and knowledge, which can be obtained by chanting the names of God, people have got some mental block. Just like if you go, Prabhupada gave the example, if you go door to door with a basket of apus, mangoes, apus or langara mangoes, depending, there's different. Apus mangoes are the ones that are, how many of you have tasted good mangoes before? If you ever go to India, yeah, even try to send away, get some sent over here. Mangoes are a delicious food. They're really one of the best fruits available on the planet. And of good mangoes, the apus mango, which is from a district, Ratnagiri, in Maharashtra, they are very succulent, very tasty, very sweet. And, you know, they're more meat than juice. There's another, not meat, I mean, fruit meat. Then there's langara mangoes, which are famous in Bengal and other places in India, but especially in Bengal. Langara mangoes are very juicy. They're full of juice. But both of them, langara or apus, doesn't matter. You go door to door with a big basket, distributing them, you knock on someone's door. Hi, I've got a basket of langara mangoes for you. They're free. Please take. People say, why are you giving free? You put some poison in it? I'm not going to take it. So even though Lord Chaitanya and his devotees are distributing love of God very freely, and it can be tasted and experienced by any simple-hearted person and experienced as wonderfully transcendental, but people are unfortunate. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. Troubled by short duration of life, short memory, very poor sense of discrimination. They can't accept it. But still, nevertheless, the devotees of the Lord are distributing Krishna consciousness. And as we pray at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam class, there is some distinction. It is not that everything is exactly the same. On a higher level, one requires some guidelines. Just like the same example of shaving. Shaving is a very nice way to clean all the hair off your face. And it works very well, especially if you use Gillette Track 3, or I don't know, whatever the latest blades are. It's a pleasure. But still, nevertheless, if you're not careful, even that, you can cut yourself. And there will be blood. So similarly, in searching for the absolute truth, in prosecuting or executing the instructions of the absolute truth, one does have to use his discrimination. And even in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to be conscientious. We have to be careful. We can't take everything just jatamattatapat. As many mutts as there are ways. That the Bengali untruism. Truism means something that's, always true. I don't know the opposite of untruism is, so I said untruism. But this idea that as many mutts as there are different paths. It's a totally concocted, bogus idea. So one has to use the power of discrimination. And especially, we are followers of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We have no other qualification. Now, he is a member. He is a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we're connected to the Madhva, Gaudiya, Vaishnav, Sampradaya. But our connection is very much through Srila Prabhupada, and only through Srila Prabhupada. Now, I could go into the relative differences between Srila Prabhupada and all other preachers, but that could take a whole other lecture. But suffice it to say that there is no one on this planet who can even compare a little bit to Srila Prabhupada. He has been empowered by Lord Chaitanya and by the disciplic succession to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. He went alone without any help. He struggled for years. He risked his life. He has been a pure devotee since the beginning of his life. He never committed any sin. And right to the very end, he guided us in very specific ways. He was not ambiguous. Srila Prabhupada's teachings, if you read his books, they're very specific. There's no doubt. You don't have to be in doubt. So anybody who wants to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he should be very, very careful to follow in the line of Srila Prabhupada. It is not that there are many Gaudiya preachers and they are all the same. They are not all the same. In fact, without being too offensive, except for Srila Prabhupada, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they are asara. They have disobeyed the orders of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to remain together, to work cooperatively under a governing body commission. Right from that point, they become asara, or fallen, useless, no matter what they do. And they're, I know, I've been in India since 1972, and I have been the president of Hyderabad Temple, the president of Calcutta Temple. I've been on a traveling party that went all over India. I've traveled with Srila Prabhupada in India. I was the president of Bombay, the regional secretary, the GBC. I know India fairly well, and I know all of those, even His Divine Grace Puri Goswami, Puri Maharaj. I know him very well from early days, from the early 70s. And they're all wonderful devotees as such. But they cannot compare even a little bit to Srila Prabhupada in his strict adherence, his strict following of Guru Parampara. That none of them came forward despite Srila Prabhupada's request to help him with the preaching. They all preferred to remain at home simply eating and sleeping in their mutts. I'm sorry to say. And none of them have got the adhikar at all to challenge Srila Prabhupada. And there's nothing like they're all being the same, they're all equal now that Srila Prabhupada has laid the fertile ground and they're taking advantage of relatively unprepared, and you can say inexperienced. They're taking advantage of that and using many tricks. I won't even discuss it today, but we should know for sure that Srila Prabhupada is a very, very special person. He is the Senapati Bhakta. He is the mighty devotee that was talked about by our acharyas who would come in the future. He has been empowered by Lord Krishna. And we should stick to his camp very carefully, because the closer you get to Krishna, the more refined things are. And you can get distracted. You can get disturbed. So, it is a bad time now in Kali Yuga. We know that astrologically, in 5,000 years, there has not been a more inconspicuous configuration of planets and stars. There's a lot of confusion in the world. 99.999% of the population have no idea of Dharma. And sinful activities are second nature. And really, myself, having lived in India for so many years, every time I come out from India, it's like, you know, coming out from a cave or something, having been in a dark cave, like, who was that, Muchukunda? Huh? Who was it that was asleep for a very long time in a cave? Muchukunda. And coming out and seeing the condition. You know, when I come to the West, I remember, it wasn't so bad in the 60s, although it was bad, but things are much worse now. Things have degraded further and further and further since my youth. I remember when I went to high school, you know, if somebody went all the way, you know, got past third base in baseball, there's first base, second base, third base, and home, you know. Anybody know about baseball here? Huh? Oh, you do? Okay, we have some female baseball stars here. Anyway, if someone had illicit sex, you know, they'd be the talk of the school. You know, wow, did you hear about so-and-so? They went all the way, you know. And most people were, you know, the boys were on the boys' side and the girls were on the girls' side, and holding hands in public was kind of frowned upon, and what to speak of kissing in public. And practically today they have sex in public and nobody notices. things have become so degraded over the course of time. Kali Yuga is progressing. But practically speaking, our only hope to get out of this cloud of darkness, to make some sense, is to stick very closely to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. He is the Senapati Bhakta that was spoken about by our acharyas. Very soon a great devotee will come and will preach freely all over the world. Nobody can compare to him. And we should not even deviate even a little bit from Srila Prabhupada's branch of the Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. He is practically, he is a Sanstapak Acharya. He is a special personality. And I don't want to get into the details in public, but there is a lot of very materialistic, strategical activity going on in the name of preaching. And a lot of people are being cheated and bewildered. It is a time of confusion. As I said, at this time the stars are very bad. But if we stick together as Prabhupada Nugas, if we somehow or other, we have problems, we have faults, but we can overcome them with Srila Prabhupada's help. Everybody has problems. The very, the Gaudiya Math, after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta left, they disobeyed his instructions and established one acharya, Brahmachari. What was his name? Ananta Vasudev. Because he was a big Sanskritist and whatever. And what happened? He fell down. The biggest acharya fell down and ran off with a woman and stole money from the deities and whatever. And since then, as Bhakti Vikas Maharaj was saying, 70 different branches or so many different deviations and much they have. Who can they preach to? Sinner, heal thyself. Physician, heal thyself. Look at your own problems. Nobody can point a finger at us. We have some problems. We're working through them. We can get better. We will get better. We're basically young children in spiritual life. But our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, has given us everything in his books. And we simply have to stick together, work together very cooperatively. Good fences make good neighbors. We are ISKCON. We are Prabhupada Anugas. If anybody wants to follow Prabhupada, we'll be happy to encourage them. But we do not need to join any other group. We have already the best teacher. And we should stick to that very closely. And by that process, we'll be able to make quick advancement in our own lives without any doubt. So it's a touchy subject for some people. For me, it's not touchy. I would like to speak very frankly, very openly, but I won't do so in public. A lot of nonsense is being done in the name of preaching, and a lot of turmoil is being created. Not only are they attacking us, but they're fighting again amongst themselves, all these different Gaudiya preachers. Believe me, we don't want that. We have Srila Prabhupada. He's the very best. He's given us everything. It's there in his books. And he's instructed his followers, whoever's left, we've gone through a lot of trouble, we've cut down a lot of fat, people who have had difficulties and they've left. We have a relatively good machine now. We have a good institution and we're slowly getting better. And you will get everything within ISKCON and following Srila Prabhupada. So I'll stop there. There's a lot more that I would like to say. It's a touchy subject. Here in the Balkans, I remember years ago, practically the Balkans was one of the best zones in the world for Sankirtan, book distribution, Namahatta preaching, everything. You guys were good. You were the greatest. Every preacher in Europe wanted to come here to preach because there were so many nice, young, enthusiastic, surrendered devotees. Now you're going through some difficult periods. A lot of you have gotten older and gotten married and had children. Your commitment, you can't give as much as you did when you were a young brahmachari. These are all natural happenings. Some have, you know, there's been difficulties with some of your leaders. But still, there's a lot of potential here. Otherwise, you wouldn't find such powerful preachers like His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj and Bhakti Vikash Maharaj and I got brain fog. Smita Krishna Maharaj. You wouldn't find devotees so enthusiastic to come here and preach to you. You have a lot of potential. This is still a great area for preaching, one of the best in the world. But we have to stick very closely now, more than ever, to Srila Prabhupada's mission, Srila Prabhupada's teachings. He is our Savior. Believe me, there is no one like Him anywhere in the universe. And we can still, He's still available through His books, His tapes, and even there are still a few of His disciples, thanks Krishna, who, you know, can tell you about Him, can give Him to you. Even if you're a householder, there are acharyas here, nice disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I just met for the first time, I'd heard about Him, but I met for the first time one of my god brothers from Germany. Where is he? Yes, 9 kids. He's a householder. That's a householder. When you got 9 kids, you're a householder. And he has a wonderful business, which he maintains his family. He's a great preacher. He's very dedicated to Prabhupada's mission. Despite all the problems the institution has seen, he's still very enthusiastic. So there are so many great preachers still extant. And I encourage you, under the banner of Srila Prabhupada, please recognize Srila Prabhupada's greatness and let us push forward our founder acharya. Let us get in his slipstream. Let us grab hold of his slipstream. It's an expression in racing. There's a behind a very fast car, there's a kind of vacuum that it's called a slipstream. If you pull your car in behind that car, you get sucked in. And then with that extra thrust, you can pass by the car that you were behind. So we won't pass by Srila Prabhupada, but there's still his slipstream is there. Following in his footsteps, there are many good devotees who are dedicated to his mission. and who are ISKCON Anugas. You know, Prabhupada said, I am ISKCON. And he repeatedly identified himself with his books and his institution, his devotees, his disciples. We will not merge with anybody else. Someone has a question. His question is, it's 9:08. So I've been asked to finish at 10 o'clock, so this is called noblesse oblige. I'm going to pull rank over you. I'm the senior Vaishnav here in the camp, and I want to have a few seconds for questions. And if you don't like it, then you can send me back to Godhead. Okay, there's time for about 50 questions. Does anybody have any answers? Okay, yeah, you have a question. Bhavda.
He said that there are many devotees who have fallen from their position and have left ISKCON, but many devotees always say that such persons have anyway done so much for Krishna, that Krishna will never forget this. So,
I agree. They're wonderful persons. We should always see them in a very loving way. Ignore anything they say, but give them love. And I'm sure Krishna will bless them, and they will go back to Godhead, or if not, they will get another opportunity to execute devotional service. I'm positive. I'm very positive. Any other questions? Yes, I saw him first.
How to fix our mind on Krishna successfully in this mundane world?
This is going to shock you. By chanting Hare Krishna? Yes.
You said we're on the end of a cycle within Kali Yuga. Could you explain this? And does it mean that we can expect better times?
I think so, yes. It's going to get better. We bottomed out. We've gotten about as bad as we can get. No, mundane civilization has reached, in terms of their degradation, when men start cohabiting with men and women with women, and when rampant murder of animals and nobody, religion is simply superficiality, and there are symptoms when there's an end of a cycle. And it looks like things can, you know, there was a man talking about my generation. There was a man named Farley Mowat. It was Gnosis Papadopoulos. Anyway, I can't remember. He wrote a book called, maybe it was Jack Kerouac. Wow, look at my memory. It's spaced out all over the place. It was one of those three demigods. He wrote a book called Been Down So Long, It Looks Like Up to Me. So, we can't, things have gone so low that it's hard for us even to recognize our condition. But we are at the end of a cycle of degradation, and, you know, hopefully, there's no question about it. Lord Chaitanya's movement is going to create a renaissance. A little French in me there. A renaissance in spiritual life. You will see Lord Chaitanya's mission. We can take part if we want. Srila Prabhupada is Senapati Bhakta. He is, you know, a powerful representative of Lord Chaitanya. And he will succeed. And those who want to stick to his lotus feet very closely, they will assist him. And although they don't want credit, they will get the credit. And there will be a renaissance. My French background. There will be a renaissance in spiritual life. And that will, within the next century, few years, we still have a few troubled years to go through. We're also developing, a lot of things are coming now, a lot of good things in terms of teaching, in terms of development, in terms of Varnashram, in terms of education. A lot of good things are in their embryonic stage, but they're proceeding systematically. And within your lifetime, we hope you'll see some of the fruits of this development. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
You just read that only felt the Mahajans knows the purpose of religion. Can you tell me that 12 Mahajans?
One of those stump the guru questions. Let's see. There's Kapila, Vyasaki. See if you know who Vyasaki is. Lord Brahma, Manu. What have I got? That's nine. Narada, Yama, Janaka, Bali Maharaj, Bali or Vyasaki or Vyasadev. That's 12. I bet you weren't counting. Huh? Brahma. Huh? Bhishma. You know, Bhishma is an amazing character. I've been reading the Mahabharata lately, and he's really kind of a bad guy in a lot of ways, you know. He's, you know, despite knowing everything, he still sticks with the Kauravas. And even in the battlefield, he fights furiously. He, Drona, Kripa, they all know everything, but somehow because they're paid by the king, they have to fight. But Bhishma, his teachings are wonderful in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any more stump the guru questions? Yes, Ante. Jorse Bolie.
Many materialistic persons think that life in this material world is very enjoyable. How can you preach to them?
Well, tell them that you have enjoyment in this material world, which will continue after the material world. In other words, you get two benefits. You can enjoy singing, dancing, and feasting in the material world, and after you leave the body, you can enjoy the same thing in the spiritual world. So what do you want? Limited, temporary enjoyment, or saturated, eternal enjoyment, which continues after the death of the body? If you think that your limited sukh and dukh is what you want, that's your choice. But why not look at this at least? Use your intelligence, your discrimination, and just try this. Our method of preaching is humble persuasion, basically. Once Srila Prabhupada was talking about Muhammad Digambar, and he was saying how he would take a Quran in one hand and a sword in the other, and he would approach people. You want the Quran or you want the sword? So Srila Prabhupada said, we will take the Bhagavad Gita in one hand and a sword in the other hand. No, we won't do it that way. Basically, our method of preaching is humble persuasion. And you simply request people that they can just try this chanting and experience the difference for themselves. You can't force someone back to Godhead. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. Our business is to flood the planet with Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada's books, key! I was told that there were many famous book distributors at one time in Yugoslavia and the Balkans. It's like everywhere in the world, it is reduced a lot, but I think we want to build it up again. Any other questions? Yes?
How important is it to remain in that slipstream of Srila Prabhupada? Study attentively his life in comparison to studying also his books of philosophy?
Well, I can't say about that very much because I don't have a lot of experience. I have been an associate member. I'm trying to be a member of ISKCON since, 1969. And I lived in India since 1972. I've been exposed to everything. But somehow or other, I personally am quite satisfied with Srila Prabhupada's books. I find everything there that I need. Now, after, 25 years of sannyas, I'm slowly starting to creep out into the world of